to eliminate disparities, integrating tobacco control and chronic disease voices for a stronger public health infrastructure, from Tanisha Peterson.
Good morning, everyone. Your eyes are not deceiving you. I am wearing blue and green to match my PowerPoint presentation. I am not a dork alone. I have my program staff with me also wearing blue and green, Mr. Marlon Williams and Ashley Steeples. So we're going to forever move forward calling this a strategic branding effort. So how do I go? Okay. So I'm here to talk about blurring borders to eliminate disparities. And this really is what I'm going to call the Be a Bridge story. This is the problem. 133 million, almost half of all Americans, live with a chronic condition. And by 2030, that will be 171 million. The link here is tobacco use is one of the most single modifiable risk factors for all chronic diseases. So clearly there's a link. This is, Be a Bridge is an acronym for bringing evidence-based research initiatives to disparate groups with evaluation. We call it BAB, so we even shorten Be a Bridge, not to be confused with Barbra Streisand. So the Be a Bridge formula, this is how we started the history. The Pennsylvania Department of Health had a vision. They wanted to release an RFA to someone who can respond with best practices, technical assistance, and gather some data for the state. The Health Promotion Council is the organization that I work for, and it's a community-based organization in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so when we received this RFA, we really had to do a bit of self-reflection. And when I say self-reflection, what we did is we took a step back and looked at our own organization. We had an arm of tobacco control, and then we had an arm of chronic disease. And even though our mission obviously propelled us to work with communities who are disparately impacted, our arm of tobacco control worked in its silo, and our arm of chronic disease worked in its silo, even though we were both targeting the same populations. So, you know, that realization became very real when we looked at this, because at the end of the day, if somebody is affected by diabetes and they smoke, they need to realize that smoking cessation is a part of managing their diabetes. They are not two separate things. So that was really the message we wanted to move forward with. So our strategy became program integration. How do we move towards making sure this consistent message is in both tobacco control and chronic disease, i.e., how do we help our diabetes educators promote tobacco cessation, and how do we help our tobacco control or cessation specialists promote chronic disease awareness and self-management? So our goal is to improve the health of Pennsylvanians. And our objective really was twofold: to build the infrastructure of local communities, community-based organizations, and the other side of that was to build the infrastructure of the local government and the state government. Here's how we planned to do this. We started out by an organizational capacity needs assessment. So the thought process behind Be a Bridge really was there are already great organizations across the state of Pennsylvania that are reaching out to the diverse population. So we were obviously not going to duplicate any efforts and do not have the capacity to reach out across all of Pennsylvania. Some may know Pennsylvania as Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Montana in between. So we certainly didn't have the capacity, but we knew that organizations were out there already doing this work. So we wanted to build the capacity of the organizations to more efficiently and strategically embark upon program integration. It's not an easy concept, even though it sounds easy. There's siloed funding, there's skill sets that need to be built, there's siloed goals and objectives because of the siloed funding. So we knew it was not easy to say, okay, let's all hold hands and work together, even though that's what we want to do. So we went across and said, okay, state of PA, what kind of capacity needs do you need us to focus on? We use a collaborative approach to capacity building. So we had a cadre of people, a battery of organizations that were willing to provide training and so forth for our effort. We also developed a web-based clearinghouse, 6 regional advisory councils, which became the hub and the success of this project. This is the bullet that describes building the infrastructure of the state. Pennsylvania is so vastly diverse that in order to go across and do capacity building that was meaningful to the organizations in each region, we had to know how to tailor that capacity building effort. And from that, we went to 3 regional summits and 6 regional workshops. So the summits weren't the culmination of our workshops. The summits began the dialogue, and then we followed each region with a more intense workshop. So this is our state, and the different colors represent the 6 health districts. So we did 3 regional summits, which were the East, the Central, and the West, and then we followed each health district with a more intensive capacity building, skill building workshop. In that, what were accomplishments? This is our wheel of TA, and as you can see, very diverse, from looking at some collaboration, networking, and partnership to finding out that there was a huge difference in how people defined evidence-based programming, and so we needed to address that as well. Translation, resource materials, data. So we went across looking at this wheel and figuring out how we could tailor some of our workshops. These were the capacity building trainings that we've done. We've done 37 in the last 2 years across the state of Pennsylvania, which entails a lot of commuting. So using what works was very popular. Fundamentals of evaluation. How did this all play in to capacity building and program integration? And I'll use an example from fundamentals of evaluation. So if you want to integrate, you have to evaluate or assess where are the intersections for program integration. So Philadelphia, the federally qualified health centers, actually did a very brief assessment in their diabetes programs and found that a large percentage, I believe upwards of 70% of their diabetes participants, were actually tobacco users. So with that brief assessment, what they did was turn it into a small policy change and required in all of their Philadelphia health centers, Philadelphia federally qualified health centers, that all of the diabetes educators now promote a 15-minute message of tobacco cessation. So that's one link as to how doing some capacity building around fundamentals of evaluation can actually lead to program integration. Here's our capacity building website. We obviously want to promote communication across the state. And one of the key things I want to point out on our website is what we called our evidence-based matrix, so to speak. So we're not promoting any one evidence-based curriculum over the other, but we have a partner, the University of Pennsylvania, that delves deeper into the evidence-based curricula. And what they do, basically, is put up there, you know, how many staff did it take to bring this evidence-based curricula to fruition? What are the resources that it took? What does the evidence say? So that if you're looking for an evidence-based curricula to implement in your organization, you could start here, sift through, and actually have someone already provide you with some insights into what that curricula looks like. We really, as a community-based organization, the Health Promotion Council, this hit home to us, because we don't have high-level researchers on staff, so to speak. And some of the evidence-based curricula are developed out of multi-million dollar NIH studies. And we don't have that money. So how do we hear what everybody's saying, use evidence-based, and really translate that into something that we can actually do? So that's why we went down this road, not to promote anyone, but just to lay the facts out there. This is what this evidence-based curricula is saying. And this is, if you want to make this decision to use this, know what you're getting into, essentially. We use what we call the CCP model of evaluation: collaboration, capacity, and policy. These are some of the summary findings: capacity assessment, event assessment. These are what our evaluator, Jen, and if you have any questions for your evaluation, she's sitting right there. These are what she used, our measures, so to speak. So far, to date, we have 1,253 separate responses from 16 surveys, which is no small feat by far. 557 event attendees going across the state. And as you can see, our state here, all the green counties are areas that we've actually had someone attend one of our events. So we felt like we covered a large part of the state, about 80% of the state. So again, in the regional advisory councils, they really became the hub. Here's a quote from our collaboration. I place more emphasis on the connection between smoking and chronic disease. And this is our logic model, again, to tie back how we're evaluating ourselves and how do we know that Be a Bridge is actually working how we intended it to work. Over 90% of summit participants agree that the summit gave them useful information about strengthening organizational capacity, again, org capacity. So I want to leave you today, and I'm good, aren't I, with time? I'm very good. I did this several times to make sure. I want to leave you today with some lessons learned. Integration is efficient, effective, and inevitable. And if you look at it from the national stage, even the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors pushes programmatic integration. CDC has done, I believe, 7 pilots across the nation looking at effective ways for program integration. And at the bottom line is, we're broke, so we need to figure out a way to work better together to really deliver the programs that we all deliver so well. Again, these are some of the resources that also lend to program integration. And this is the integration continuum. And I put this slide up here, again, to reiterate that program integration is not easy. There are several steps along the way, both internally as an organization and collaborating externally. So you have not linked, or we don't work together at all. Communication, we share information only. Cooperation, we share information and work together when opportunity arises. We work side by side, or coordination. We work side by side and actively pursue opportunities to work together. We work together with specified responsibilities to achieve common program goals. And a fully linked program, we mutually plan, share staff and/or resources, and evaluate activities to accomplish our common goal. And again, I put this continuum up there to show just how a fully integrated program would look like and how it's not easy to achieve if you're not starting out that way. So my final thoughts, some steps in order to move forward on the continuum: engage leadership, develop integrated state plans, implement integrated interventions. And what I listed here were some examples of integrated strategies that have been done already, using a tobacco excise tax dollars to fund both tobacco control and chronic disease prevention. And not to be confused, but working together, we all can achieve our goal. Not the beer. If we take the beer on the top shelf and replace that with people, I do believe we have to work together in order to achieve that goal. Thank you.
Is our next speaker Garth Graham with us? Okay, our next talk is Backpack and Class Act, Eliminating Disparities in Clinical Trials.